The failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the Century of Lies.
Hello, and welcome to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. A bill in the Ohio legislature would revise the adult use and medical marijuana laws in the state of Ohio and would also impose new restrictions on intoxicating hemp products. Senate Bill 56 was passed by the Ohio Senate back in February. The bill then went to the House. House committees in October approved major changes to SB 56. It was approved by the full House on October 22nd and is now back at the Senate for reconciliation or possible rejection. Let's hear some audio from that October 22nd House session. Here's Representative Brian Stewart. He'll be followed by Representative Tex Fisher.
For many years now, the Ohio General Assembly has debated what our public policy should be towards marijuana, intoxicating hemp products, and the emergence of THC-infused beverages. During these debates, the federal government has passed legislation that impacted the hemp question. Ohio voters passed an initiated statute that impacts the marijuana question. And Ohio businesses began to operate in the uncertain gray legal area that presented itself relating to hemp beverages. As of today, our governor has issued an order attempting to ban all intoxicating hemp products, but it's currently subject to an injunction. And all the while, a comprehensive legislative solution that would largely resolve all these questions has been incredibly difficult to find. So as we consider today what is the 18th version of Substitute Senate Bill 56, it's actually not that hard to see why. Some of our colleagues have supported legalized marijuana, but not legalized hemp. Some have supported legalized hemp, but not marijuana. Some want to see THC beverages legalized. Some want to see them banned. Some want legalized THC beverages for on-premises consumption. Some want to see marijuana in thousands of locations, others in hundreds, others in tens, some not at all. We've had proposals for a HOOTS Community Fund share for our local communities that have ranged from 36% to 20% to 0%. And so in short, Mr. Speaker, charting where the various factions of the House previously stood on this in both parties has quickly created the Venn diagram from hell. And so I'm very pleased to be able to stand today and advocate for a bill that now has substantial support from both parties. This bill has been very difficult to wrangle, but most of our substantive bills usually are. But rather than being some kind of mushy muddle of weak sauce tiebreakers, this bill does what we all claimed that we wanted to come to Columbus to do. It tackles the issue head on, it makes tough decisions, it respects and implements the feedback from residents and advocates across the affected industries. This bill wisely balances between Ohioans' individual liberties, their safety, the financial well-being of our local communities, and the need to protect the health and safety of Ohio's children. I want to highlight just a few aspects of the bill. Substitute Senate Bill 56 respects and preserves all of the core aspects of the Issue 2 initiated statute that Ohioans passed in 2023. It preserves home grow of 12 plants. It preserves the right to acquire and consume legal adult use marijuana at regulated licensed dispensaries. It allows for legal sharing between adults. It ensures that when Ohioans purchase these products, they can know they were grown in Ohio, heavily tested, and they're free from contaminants. In short, virtually everything that Ohioans can do today under the initiated statute will be just as legal after the passage of this bill. At the same time, though, we are prohibiting public use. Our constituents, including many of the people who voted for Issue 2, have also made clear that they don't want every downtown in Ohio to smell like a Grateful Dead concert. Using these products will be legal on Ohioans' own residential properties, but not at the playground, not at the mall, not at the baseball stadium, not at the amusement park. We're protecting children by banning, in statute, the manufacture of products that look like fruits or gummy bears that would be attractive to children. We're banning advertising that would be targeted to children. We're making very clear that selling these products to persons under 21 is and should be illegal. The bill preserves the 36% host community fund for local communities that are home to marijuana dispensaries. Folks, this was not a given. The Department of Taxation flagged this early on that issue two actually failed to include legal language appropriating money for the locals. And so that, to get that money to our local communities, it was always going to require legislation in this chamber. A lot of different numbers have been floated over the last 2 years, but I want to commend a lot of advocates in both parties. Representative Callender, Representative Odioso, Representative Sinnenberg, and on and on and on. Many of you in this room drew a firm line and made sure that we preserve this funding source for our eligible communities. Voting yes on Senate Bill 56 today will send millions of dollars of marijuana tax receipts back to the communities where they were generated every single year. The bill also creates a workable legal landscape for Ohio's hospitality industry and the beverage manufacturers alike. We are more definitively legalizing the on-premises consumption of THC-infused beverages that many establishments are already selling. But we're capping their potency at a low dose of 5 milligrams per serving. We are allowing manufacturers to create higher dose beverages, but we're restricting them to sale outside of our state. And we are establishing a reasonable $1.20 per gallon tax rate that's on par with other forms of spirituous liquor, rather than hammering an industry with an exorbitant tax rate. In a moment, my colleague Representative Fisher will discuss some specifics on our compromise on intoxicating hemp products. But in short, this bill creates a legal pathway for the sale of regulated, licensed, tested, safely grown intoxicating hemp products in a limited number of hemp dispensaries. It grandfathers certain existing Ohio hemp stores to ensure that no one is arbitrarily, automatically put out of business by this bill. But no Ohio legislator has ever affirmatively voted to allow intoxicating hemp products to be sold in 6,000 plus gas stations and grocery stores where children freely walk the aisles. And this bill will close that loophole and prohibit those sales. Folks, this is a big bill. It's got a lot of moving parts. It does significant things. It solves real problems. But it does so in a way that is designed to find a 50 plus bipartisan votes. So if you're reading through it and you're saying, Rep. Stewart, yeah, I don't like Section X, I don't like Section Y, please know you're in good company. I don't either. This is not the bill that I originally introduced. It's not the bill that Representative Fisher originally introduced, but it is a carefully crafted compromise that makes Ohio better. And so I would very respectfully ask of you, please do not let the hypothetical perfect be the enemy of the very, very, very good.
After a long, very long, winding journey, I rise in support of Substitute Senate Bill 56. I really appreciated my colleagues earlier this afternoon, talking about how House Bill 186 was on a dash 10, and I'm proud to say we very much had you guys beat as we were up well past midnight reviewing a dash 18, this legislation that you have before you today. This is a compromise bill. As my colleague, Representative Stewart, and others have noted, not everybody is getting what they want in this, and I think that's kind of the theme of today, to show that this body is capable of compromise and capable of agreement, but we can still remain steadfast on our core principles, we can be workable, and find compromise and common ground for the greater good of our state. And for that, I am incredibly grateful for the work of Representative Stewart, who I think roundly summed it up very, very well, that we were at an impasse, and then by the end of the evening, we had a general agreement, and that took a lot of work, a lot of give and a lot of take, but we have come a very long way from where we were maybe in June, when perhaps some of us maybe have gummed up the works there. So I apologize to anybody who was inconvenienced by those efforts, but to get us to this position where we are today, I think that was a fight well worth having. We have a lot of wins for us so-called hemp representatives in the room here in this version of the legislation. On-site consumption for these wildly popular THC hemp-infused beverages is going to be a huge win at the local level in your districts. Many of you heard from beverage manufacturers, bars, restaurants, retailers about how popular these products are, but there are also a lot of folks that weren't yet comfortable stocking these products because of the regulatory uncertainty that is a result of our inability to previously come to an agreement here in Columbus. I think this strikes the appropriate tone of a reasonable, fair, and pro-business regulatory regime while still maintaining that these products and consumers should be safe and should only be accessible to 21 plus adults. I believe we have struck the correct balance on the beverage side of this, and I am very, very happy to see where this legislation has led us. We hear a lot about the scourge of these so-called gas station joints, the different items that the governor held up at his press conference a few weeks ago. And I think we all had agreement that that was not the intent of the hemp legislation at the federal level or here in Ohio, but we did need to do something to protect kids from these products. Some of these products are truly illicit and truly dangerous, and everybody, no matter how fervent of an activist on the hemp side of this issue you were, agreed something needed to be done. This legislation closes those loopholes to ensure that only 21-plus individuals are able to access these products and purchase them. Now, I think one of the areas where we had disagreement in the past was, what about those businesses that would be negatively impacted by some of the language in previous versions of this bill? What about those people that have poured their blood, sweat, tears, years of work, potentially millions of dollars into building a business, living by the rules that we set out, whether they were adequate or not, they were not breaking the law. Those were the people that I was motivated to stand up for. And while this bill doesn't do everything that I wanted or everything that others want, I believe we have arrived at a reasonable conclusion to allow those people to still stay in business, to grandfather them into this new regulatory regime. The standards will be incredibly high, but we want high standards. We also want to make sure that people have the ability to make a living and live the American dream here in Ohio and not have an action that happens in this chamber compromise their ability to make a living and provide for their families. I think that we have come to a reasonable place on that as well. So after, like I said, many, many hours of discussions, I can't tell you how many, probably close to 100 plus meetings that my aide and I, Dawson Osborne, sat in on, talking to advocates on very different sides of this issue. I am proud to say that we arrived in a reasonable place that I am proud to support.
That was Ohio State Representative Tex Fisher. He was preceded by Representative Brian Stewart. They were speaking on the floor of the Ohio House of Representatives on October 22nd in support of the substitute language for Ohio Senate Bill 56, which makes changes to Ohio's adult use and medical marijuana laws, as well as its laws on hemp, particularly regarding intoxicating hemp products. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Both Stewart and Fisher are Republicans. Here now is Ohio State Representative Eric Sinnenberg, a Democrat. He'll be followed by Representative Haraz Ghanbari, a Republican.
I rise today in support of Substitute Senate Bill 56. This legislation, as you've just heard, has been a long time in the making, countless hours of work, collaboration, and negotiation. I want to begin by sincerely thanking Representatives Stewart, Callender, Fisher, Chairman Jim Thomas, and our leader and former ranking member Isaacson, and Representative Sweeney, for all of your leadership and perseverance. The willingness of all of the above-mentioned representatives on both sides of the aisle to listen, keep refining the bill, has brought us to this place today where we can, in good conscience, move forward with bipartisan support. This bill is about much more than just regulating the adult use cannabis industry. It is a comprehensive effort to uphold the will of the Ohio voters while protecting public health and safety and protecting our children from dangerous, intoxicating hemp products while ensuring a competitive marketplace for legitimate businesses. It's how we move forward. The question before us today is how we move forward responsibly with an effective regulatory framework for adult-use cannabis, intoxicating hemp products, and drinkable cannabinoid products, or DCPs. We should also acknowledge the Ohio voters, who in November of 2023 spoke clearly when 57% voted to approve Issue 2. And what they supported was not just legalization, but a set of promises: home cultivation rights, tax revenues directed to social equity and job programs, support for host communities, funding for education and addiction treatment, and greater access and economic opportunity for historically disadvantaged groups. And I stand here today committed to upholding the will of Ohio's voters, while also at the same time recognizing our responsibility as legislators to come to the table and craft thoughtful, responsible policy that ensures that our laws work safely and effectively for everyone. And I believe that Substitute Senate Bill 56, as it stands today, mostly does that. Earlier versions removed several key provisions that the voters had approved. But after months of stakeholder engagement, extensive public testimony, and hard bipartisan work, many of those important elements, including home grow rights and the tax revenue allocations to host communities, have been restored. After Governor DeWine's executive order, this body is taking responsible steps to protect our children from being able to access intoxicating hemp products. And we're doing that by establishing a clear regulatory framework for how intoxicating hemp is processed, distributed, and sold in Ohio. Importantly, this includes keeping packaging and advertising from being appealing to children, raising the purchase age to 21, and creating licensing provisions that ensure these products can only be sold by legitimate and responsible businesses. I will add that protecting our children is very bipartisan, and all involved agreed this was a concern that needed to be addressed, and frankly, it could have happened sooner. I'll also add that the practice of targeting our youth, especially in Black and brown communities, has been a truly regrettable and reprehensible chapter, and I'm glad that that will now be done. As earlier alluded to, we continued to work on this bill up until the wire. When it left Judiciary Committee just yesterday, it was an 8-5 vote, and I voted no. My concerns were on provisions related to criminal penalties and expungement, but I want to commend the sponsor, Rep. Stewart, for coming back to the table, even at the last hour, to make meaningful improvements. And with the amendments that were adopted today in the Finance Committee, I can confidently support this bill. The changes made at the last hour, harmonize penalties for selling to underage individuals across cannabis, intoxicating hemp, and the drinkable cannabinoid products, aligning them more so with our alcohol statutes. They also strengthen expungement provisions by eliminating unnecessary burdens for misdemeanor offenses, clarify sourcing rules, refine the grandfather clause, and extend opportunities to permit holders and retailers. These are significant improvements, and they make this legislation fairer, smarter, and more consistent. With all that being said, we still will have a lot of work to do in this area, and as these programs mature, we will undoubtedly need to revisit and refine them. And I also want to acknowledge that, unfortunately, this legislation will impact some Ohio business owners. We have a continuing obligation to strike the right balance between public safety, business opportunity, and individual freedom, and to remove the lingering stigma of past criminalization for what are truly no longer crimes, and to ensure these industries develop in a way that truly serve Ohio.
Let me begin by acknowledging that there are a number of good and thoughtful provisions in this bill. The sponsors and committee members have worked diligently to modernize our framework, improve clarity for businesses and law enforcement, and align certain state statutes with the realities of the evolving marketplace. For that, I want to extend my thanks and appreciation. However, I must draw attention to one very important omission, one that, if left unaddressed, will create an inconsistency in our law and a serious gap in public safety. While this legislation revises numerous aspects of regulation and licensing, it does not include any provisions addressing underage possession or the use of intoxicating hemp. That is a problem. Under current law, we have a clear and well-established set of standards regarding alcohol. A minor in possession of alcohol or consuming alcohol is subject to defined penalties and interventions. Those provisions are not about punishment alone. They exist to protect our young people from harm, to promote accountability, and to provide tools for parents, schools, and law enforcement to intervene early when necessary. Yet as we move forward in regulating intoxicating hemp products, treating them in a way similar to alcohol, we are failing to provide the same level of accountability and structure when it comes to underage possession or use. That lack of parity sends the wrong message. It tells our youth that while society recognizes the risks of underage drinking, we are somehow indifferent to the risk associated with underage consumption of intoxicating hemp. And that simply is not the case. Every credible health and safety authority has made clear that intoxicating substances, regardless of source, can pose real developmental and behavioral risk for those under the age of 21. By not establishing clear consequences or guardrails, we are leaving law enforcement, schools, and families without the guidance they need to respond consistently and effectively when underage possession or consumption occurs. It's not a partisan issue. It's a matter of public health, consistency, and responsible policymaking. So while I commend the many good elements of Substitute Senate Bill 56, I urge this body to give serious consideration whether either in future legislation or perhaps if this ends up in a conference committee, to adding provisions that address underage possession and the use of intoxicating hemp. Doing so will ensure parity with existing laws, protect our young people, and promote, Mr. Speaker, a balanced, responsible framework as Ohio moves forward in this new policy area. I will be supporting the legislation today. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
That was Ohio State Representative Haraz Ghanbari. He was preceded by Representative Eric Sinnenberg. They were speaking on the floor of the Ohio House of Representatives on October 22nd in support of the substitute language for Ohio Senate Bill 56, which passed the Ohio House October 22nd on a vote of 87-8. So far, we've heard supporters of the measure. Let's hear now from opponents. Here's Representative Jennifer Gross, a Republican. She'll be followed by Representative Desiree Timms, a Democrat.
Mr. Speaker, Ohio officially allowed hemp and hemp-derived products like CBD to be sold legally starting in August 2019 when Governor DeWine signed the Senate Bill 57 into law. Admittedly, back then I would have voted against the bill. The law decriminalized hemp, cannabis with less than 0.3% THC, and made it legal to grow, process, and sell hemp and hemp-derived products in Ohio. After that, hemp stores began opening in late 2019 and early 2020. Once the Ohio Department of Agriculture finalized rules for cultivation, processing, and sale. Since most of us were not here in 2019 due to term limits, we are going back on the promises made in 2019 by a different legislative body and harming small businesses in Ohio. And this after the people, via referendum, voted for full legalization of marijuana on a completely different product. I've heard from five businesses in my district. And SB 56 effectively kills large swaths of Ohio's hemp industry, which began in the 2018 Farm Bill. Voting for this bill puts legislators at odds with President Trump's signature agricultural achievement and will lead to closures of retailers who offer hemp alternatives to Big Pharma. Ohio is open for business. It is right to remove packaging, which dangerously attracts children, to enforce age restrictions, as well as set limits on advertising to the younger generations. But this bill is not ready, sir. It is not fair, like Lucy in the Peanuts cartoon, to start a game and then move the ball to the tune of a biannual fee of $35,000 every other year to small business. Registration fee, which will likely put hundreds of Ohio small businesses out of business. Those we welcomed 6 years ago trusted us to support a strong business climate full of capitalistic competitive edge. This bill goes back on our word given in 2019 as a state legislature. Potentially harms hundreds of Ohio businesses because purchasing these products can still be ordered from out of state, while harming the businesses that are still present on our soil, whom we say we support. This bill takes a hatchet to these small businesses when the more modest regulatory approach would have placed guardrails around the industry and protect our children. Therefore, I urge a no vote. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
I, too, rise in opposition to Senate Bill 56. While I wholeheartedly agree that we should take actions to regulate substances and we shouldn't have things that look like candy that are being enticing to children And I am really proud of all of the work that all of my fellow Judiciary Committee members put forth to make substantial changes to the bill. I too believe that we still have a little bit more work to do on the issue. First, we legalized medical marijuana, then voters passed issue two, and now we're working to regulate hemp and cannabis as we should. Unfortunately, the cost to enter the market requires significant capital that just does not create opportunities for the little guy. And that is my stark issue with this bill. While the bill will grandfather those who are already into the market, it will still charge them a fee, a substantial fee. It surcharges those who wish to enter the market. In just a few years, we have taken an industry that was once used to suppress and oppress Black, brown, and marginalized communities. We have had a golden opportunity in this moment in history to right this wrong, to fight back against the injustices and the economic loss. I'm very proud of the work that our fellow committee members, such as Representative Josh Williams and others, work to do on expungement. It is a meaningful step in the right direction, but we can do a little bit more. The cannabis arrest rate for Black Ohioans is 5 times that of white Ohioans. We are eliminating a license and opportunity for small cultivators, and we are continuing a licensing structure where only those with wealth and connections have an opportunity to make record profits, while those who have been incarcerated, who have been charged, who have blemished records, while they now have a path to take steps to remove those records, at the same time as they are working to remove those blemishes on their records, we will have a select few raking in millions of dollars. We have seen this happen in states all over the country. And I hope that this body will continue to work on the bill to ensure that if you are a small business owner, if you are the little guy, if you have a story about smoking a joint in college and how it changed your life and you didn't have access to student loans or housing, or you were charged higher rates, that you have an opportunity to enter the industry and make something out of yourself, to build a business in an industry that once held you back. I think that we will have an opportunity to continue these conversations as we consider the small cultivators, and again, the little guy, and not the select few who will continue to monetize and profit off of an industry that has really targeted and harmed a lot of people's lives. So again, I am very thankful and grateful to all of the work that the folks on the Judiciary and Finance Committee did to make this bill so much better. And we are almost there. And I hope that we will continue to make steps to continue to protect Ohioans and the little guy. And with that, I urge a no vote.
That was Ohio State Representative Desiree Timms. Before her, you heard Representative Jennifer Gross. They were speaking on the floor of the Ohio House of Representatives on October 22nd in opposition to Ohio Senate Bill 56, which makes changes to Ohio's adult use and medical marijuana laws, as well as its laws on hemp, particularly regarding intoxicating hemp products. The measure was approved by the House on a vote of 87-8. SB 56 now goes to the state Senate for reconciliation and approval or possible rejection. For now, that's it. Thank you for joining us. This has been Century of Lies. I've been your host, Doug McVeigh. We'll be back in a week with 30 more minutes of news and information about drug policy and the failed war on drugs. For now, this is Doug McVeigh saying so long.
For the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the Century of Lies. Drug Truth Network programs archived at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy.